that's amazing, Totoro. I didn't know you knew all that stuff.
Me neither.
It's like, wow, she can understand him. It's like, we don't even get subtitles for him. But
it's like when Anakin understands R2-D2.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is I'm totally forgot to record a quote for the movie.
Damn it.
And I was like, I'm not going to rewatch this shit. And then, you know, I'm just going off memory of what I remember most psychotically. And, you know, I don't regret my decision.
Or you could have you could have been like, oh, okay, who was it? Who was it?
See, like, oh, you don't even know.
It's like, you don't even care about mom. What, you want her to die?
Oh, I do remember that.
Stupid idiot.
Welcome, folks, to another edition of the Spotter Pod. It is yours truly, Jeffrey Excellence, joined together with my eternal podcast host.
It is I, Big O.
See, like, I queued him up, but there was no delay there. That's how you know.
Yeah. After 3 years? I don't
finally know. Figured it out. Hey, we're in that full synchro, bro.
Yeah.
Like in Mega Man Battle Network.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Hey, did you know Mega Man in that game is actually Lan's dead brother?
I swear we mentioned that on the fucking...
I'm going to mention it again.
If you didn't finish our last episode, Heavy Rain, I don't blame you.
What do you mean? Our spot is the best part.
Well, yeah. Heavy Rain. Oh yeah.
Speaking of,
any lingering thoughts? I will say, I did take a look, just on happenstance. I didn't seek it out,
Jason,
but it did happen to see some gameplay of Detroit Become Human. And you know, I do think, you know, I can't guarantee
Jason.
If we were to play it, we would like actually care about the plot. But at least it looks a lot nicer than Heavy Rain. You know, I mean, it's very visually. Nice. Maybe that would help with the presentation.
Because
you know, when your kids are monsters and you're playing a monster because they're so ugly.
Am I the origami killer?
Or you're playing an idiot.
Was that the quote I started with for that game?
I don't think so.
The quote? That's a missed opportunity.
I don't even remember. That was like,
man, hopefully you remember to check that out, because I really hope that's what I use.
I'm pretty well. Well, anyway.
I always black out whenever it rains, and now my son's missing. Am I the origami killer?
It's like, you know, he's a regular...
maybe like...
regular Sherlock Holmes.
Like, I know you have an option. Like, those are thoughts. It's meant to be like racing thoughts. And you have an option to think, oh, no. There's no way I'm the origami kill, but the fact, like, in his head, he didn't even hesitate.
Yeah, that's actually, I think that's the thing I noticed, too, where some thoughts would be, like, contradictory, but, like, you have the option to say both. It's kind of weird.
I mean, sometimes people think about both sides.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But also, like, he just seemed fervently,
yeah, he was very adamant.
Yeah. He was adamant when he made that.
I must be the origami killer.
I was like, wow, okay.
I'm murdering all these kids without even knowing it. Wow.
Like, how am I doing it?
I don't know. I blacked out. That was never explained.
Especially when he makes the challenges for himself. Like, you really think you had the time or resources like, to do all this shit?
I mean, hey, you know, he doesn't know how long he blacks out. Maybe he's just got that much time.
But I mean, like, you have to, like, leave some sort of breadcrumb trail for yourself. Like, at least in itemized purchases, right? Because that money's not going to come from nowhere.
Maybe his alternate origami killer self, just a mastermind, is able to cover his
tracks. Yeah, just withdrew all that cash, you know, even though you can see the withdrawal. But
just had a separate bank account under Sean's name. Or Jason's name? Which one's dead? The dead one.
Jason!
Yeah.
Wait.
Jason's in the mall.
Which one died? Yeah, Jason.
Yeah, Jason. Jason. Sean. Sean.
That's pretty good. That's honestly a pretty good... Dude, you know, honestly, I kind of appreciate how they recycled the voice actors and the brothers Shelby Flash.
That's efficient.
Look. I think... it has that double use of it's drawing parallels, but also like, hey, we don't have to look for nor pay another set of actors. So.
Which I'm pretty sure we're probably like related to like someone on the crew, but they weren't that great. Although I don't know, like
they were definitely Canadian.
Yeah, finding good child voice actors, I don't know. It's probably not that easy. Because kids are idiots. Like we'll say in the movie.
Some people are still idiots.
Yeah.
When they grow up. Speaking of idiots, let's talk about My Neighbor Totoro. With the biggest dummy of them all. Mick.
I mean, you know, when you're four, you know, thoughts, feelings.
Getting lost is pretty easy.
It's, yeah, you know, I'm sure it's happened to
Granny assumes that you died in the water irrigation system.
Okay, maybe we'll get into it. I do have a question about, or maybe just a notable
moment. No, why don't you throw it out there? I'm serious.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, it's not her slipper. So whose slipper was it? Some other random girl you don't know? I mean, fucker?
Hey, someone could have just dropped it. Right. Yeah, that's true. They didn't find a body, so.
That's true. Part of me likes to think it's like, she's like, oh, it's not May's slipper, so I don't care anymore.
Some other kid could have died.
Some other rando kid from some other village, whatever.
Who cares? Someone could have just dropped it,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's probably most likely. Okay, but anyway, I think.
Let's run a quick overview on My Neighbor Totoro, the topic of today's spot.
Yeah, so this is a Studio Ghibli film.
It's the first major one, right? Hold on. We saw Castle in the Sky.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Castle in the Sky is considered the first major one. I think so.
But I think My Neighbor Totoro is like the most iconic
start,
right?
Yeah, it's definitely their... it's probably like their top...
Their flagship.
Like that or Spirited Away, I probably feel like.
I would say My Neighbor Totoro. I mean, I think Spirited Away I enjoyed more. But I think My Neighbor Totoro might be more iconic in the sense that when they have the Studio Ghibli logo, it's literally...
Yeah, it's literally him. So, especially in terms of, like, yeah, just... Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. He's more...
Iconic nature. Yeah.
Versus...
Like, he's barely in the movie.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
That's easy. I was kind of there, like, less than half the movie.
Yeah.
But hey, I hope you like this annoying girl and her sister.
I guess quick overview, quick synopsis. Kids move into a new house.
A
shitty old haunted house. In the boonies. Out of nowhere, or in the middle of nowhere.
And why? Well, I'm assuming for the mothers.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's why.
That makes sense, yeah.
When the movie started, initially I was thinking, like, man, the dad's, like, super irresponsible.
And that's just how it was in the 80s. You just let your kids go wherever?
Yeah, I mean, that is true, and it's also, you know, why there were more, what's it called? Unsolved mysteries of kidnappings and murders.
Oh, man, I was watching, you know what an iceberg, video, right?
Yeah.
I was watching, like, it's like 5-6 hours. It was, like, one of those giant ones. Yeah, so many fucking unsolved
mysteries.
And I'm like, fuck, I'm getting spooked listening to all these. There's so many fucking, kids disappearing. There was one of this little girl who just apparently went out. Like, she took her backpack in the middle of, like, 11 in the rain. Like, okay, she just went. She just left her house.
Never came back.
Oh, man. It's like, what the fuck?
I remember I saw one. It was, like, a recent one. And it wasn't an iceberg video, but a news article of, like, woman found in, I think it was, like, American Samoa. Been missing for, like, 30 years or something. And I'm just thinking, like, wow. Okay. I couldn't even imagine the circumstances.
Was she alive?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, found alive. But
okay.
I think, like, I don't know, I didn't read too much on it. I just, obviously, a headline's a headline, but...
Yeah, you know, it's a lot easier to go missing than you'd think it'd be, especially in this day and age. We're all connected all the time online. But, you know, just, anyway. Awkward transition. Speaking of... Okay, getting to themes and tones of this film.
Definitely, a movie called My Neighbor Totoro, you know, I would say based off just the name itself, it's not going to be anything like too dark and damper, right?
Yeah, tone-wise, this is definitely like a lot more lighthearted. Like a lot, it's very slice of lifey.
Yes, 100%. That's
how it definitely feels like 100% that, but in
slice
movie
of life.
Form.
Yes, no, easily could have been a series,
Or like you could see it was like one of those like manga, like I think an Ichijo too was like a one of those daily mangas or whatever.
Like a four panel.
Yeah. So themes and tones. I think the main one for me was kind of like humans and nature / magic, because the magic is like intertwined with nature, with humans trying to find a way to coexist with the two. And I, you know, I think Ghibli films usually do will have like a strong like eco, like pro eco theme, especially like Mononoke, stuff like that, or even Mononoke. Like Castle in the Sky. It's the juxtaposition.
Even Spirited Away, it has like the Haku River or the other river spirit.
Purifying. It's like merging of the human, like the kind of, you know, the man-made world in nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of it here, not as much with the man-made stuff, but it's just kind of like, like just normal society, like merging together with, because I think the fact that all the magic creatures and stuff are only seen by the kids.
Yeah.
It's like, to me, I find really interesting how it's like, you know, magic is like all around us, but like, with only like the eyes of a child can you really like see it,
appreciate
for yourself,
it.
Experience yeah. it. No, I think I really like that theme, right?
Of, yeah, like the coexistence. I don't think this movie is meant to have like some sort of like deep thematic message, and it doesn't need to, right? Yeah. But catching on to what you're, or rather piggybacking off what you're saying, I think my main takeaway from the movie is the importance of that childlike wonder, you mm-hmm. know? Like you said, Mei and Satsuki are only able to see my neighbor Totoro, their neighbor Totoro because of, you know, their young age and so on. And they're only able to see all the wondrous nature because only kids are able to see that sort of thing. And granted, hell, Satsuki's only able to find Mei because of her, you know, her belief in Totoro and the spirits and such.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And then just appreciating, like, what it's like to be a kid again, I guess. And I think that's, like, the main driving force of the movie, because obviously, like, kids can enjoy this movie, right? Because mm-hmm. from the music to the animations and all the designs. But I think what adults can take away from this movie is kind of just that nostalgia of being a kid, mm-hmm. right? Like, I guess we're meant to view kind of the movie from the lens of the father, when like, oh, I remember when I was younger, I would think about the spirits and mm-hmm. such, right? And just how he would appreciate it, and he fostered that imagination in his kids.
Yeah, no, I really like that too with the dad, where he's never like, you know,
stop being stupid.
Yeah, yeah, like he's 100% behind them. No, I think one of my favorite scenes is like after he doesn't look at his 4-year-old, she just wanders off, and she's lost for a little bit, and then after meeting Totoro for the first time, you know, they find her. And he's like, well, you know, you met the king of the forest. We ought to pay respects.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's so, because it's like, you know, I think that's another thing too. We're getting with the whole theme of man versus nature. And I think that was a quote that he said in that scene where he's talking about how, you know, man in the trees used to be friends. Mm. It's kind of like thinking about how, you know, human origins back in the day, going back, you know, when hunter gatherers, like having to be within, you know, that kind of primal state. And then just how, thinking about how, you know, life is the Industrial Revolution, all that shit, you know, kind of has completely changed the way we live from, what, 1,000? I don't know the timeline, but, you know, it's like life 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago is like completely alien to like what it is now. And I think this movie is like a nice reminder of like, you know, what it can be like to, like, a simpler time. And I think going back to that nostalgia,
it shows the importance of being a kid, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of like a meta brilliant move, in the sense that this movie isn't thematically strong, because you think kids really give a shit about themes when they watch a movie, you know what I mean? Like, you think a little shithead 4-year-old or snot-nosed 4-year-old cares that when they see, like, let's say the Sonic movie or whatever, you think they really care about, oh, what themes or how deep does this movie touch me? No, they don't give a shit about that. They care about, you know, the visuals, the sounds. They care about seeing Sonic on screen, no, right?
I will say, I do remember, I remember watching Finding Nemo with, like, my dad. And my dad was like, hey, and, like, he's like, yeah, what did you learn from the movie, son? I'm like,
I don't know.
He's like, isn't it like, oh, it's important to... Let your kids
grow up.
Something, learning how to be a father or whatever. And he's like, eh. I like the fish. He's cool.
Hey, you know, that's a good point too. Like, not, maybe not everyone even cares about the whole thematics and all that. I like how he asked you what you learned, and he just said, oh, I like the fish.
It's like, what on God?
No, but really, really, like, I know we keep hammering it, but I just want to put it over one more time. But the whole message of the movie, I feel like, is the importance of that childlike wonderment. That's why, you know, it shouldn't have anything too heavy and too deep as far as, like, themes, right? Because kids really shouldn't think about that kind of thing. You know, when Satsuki and Mei were all dour about their mom possibly not coming home and not just, I don't know, relaxing and trusting the process and just being dumb kids, that's when shit hit the fan, right? But when they finally learned to just trust in their wonderment, aka trust in Totoro, or, you know, even before that, when they're having the tree growing scene, like, everything's all peachy.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I think it's high-key a meta 4D chess move that the theme isn't, like, so focused and the driving force of the movie here. Which is weird, because, like, normally we don't say that kind of thing here.
Yeah.
But for the way that this movie is presented and what this movie is, it's appropriate.
Hard agree on that, yeah. Getting into some of the characters and arcs. yeah, there were, like, a lot of characters on here. I just threw on some important ones. So you have, like, Granny, who just...
Oh, don't forget about the boy, Kanta.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was a minor character. Has a crush on Satsuki.
So is Granny, like, his grand...
Yeah, his grandmother.
Okay, just make it sure.
Yes, yes.
No, because, so, yeah, starting off with her, like, she's kind of, like, just an old lady who's, like, here to help them out as they settle in.
But, I mean, she's also, like, aiding in that wonderment, right? Like, she talks about the dust sprites
and how she used to be able to see all that, all that kind of stuff.
As a kid, yeah.
Yeah, kind of just, like, you know, helping build out.
Assumes May is dead in the water irrigation system.
I mean, hey, you know, when, I mean, sometimes I assume the worst when I don't
It doesn't
back,
hurt to check.
You know, when people don't answer their phone and you keep calling them and you're just like,
oh. Where the fuck is you?
And it's just like, well, I guess they're gone. Wonder what's going on. What we're gonna do with their room. God, that's bad. Yeah. Whatever. So she's there. Kanta's like a boy who's kind of like shy around a girl his age showing up, as is usual, as is a thing. And he's got a couple moments, like giving the umbrella. That was kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that was kind of a thing. I don't know. He was wearing, like, what, an officer's hat? Or
yeah, something
it was like a policeman hat? Like, well, I saw a couple of the boys wearing that. I'm like, what the heck? What's going on?
I have no clue. I feel like that's a cultural thing, if anything.
I think Bianca, watched it with her. She was like, maybe it's this is, like, post-war Japan, and, like, they're all wearing, like, their dad's, like, military cap or something, because they think it looks cool. I don't know.
Maybe.
Eh, I don't know.
I can't explain it.
I'm not sure. But anyway, now getting into our main family. So we got the mom.
Sick with what?
Sick with what? A cough? Who goes... Okay, I guess if you have pneumonia...
Is that what they said it was?
At least in the Japanese, they said it was a cold. Which, okay, if it's pneumonia...
That's a long-running cold. Yeah, that's more than just
if it's
cold.
Like pneumonia, then that's rough. I mean, I went... The first time I ever went to the hospital as, like, to get treated was for pneumonia. I had to miss like 2 weeks
school
as well.
I remember that, yeah.
And that was kind of crazy. But no, I remember thinking, like, fuck, I have no my dumbass is like, I have lung cancer. Oh no. I always assume the worst sometimes when it comes to, like, health and stuff. I don't know.
You can die from pneumonia.
Yeah, no, definitely. But yeah, no, she's kind of there as kind of like, I guess, like, a because
she's like a driving plot point.
Yeah, she's a driving plot point because all the kids are very focused on, you know, we can't wait for her to come back. And
then she's not coming back for whatever reason.
Like, kind of the main.
Actually, Joanna was like, you know, being a nerd, right? She's like, oh, how come she doesn't have any IVs? Like, what kind of, is this a psychological hospital?
I know, she was like just in like a kimono or whatever. I don't know how hospitals work in Japan.
No, but also, like, that's a good point. Kind of like, almost like it's a plot hole, right? Like, if you came to the country for a specific treatment, but then it looks like she's not actually even being treated.
She's just, like, reading the newspaper.
Yeah, just sitting in bed.
Playing cards or whatever.
So, like, it was like, oh, is this a psych ward? Is that bitch crazy? So, like, that's definitely a plot hole, right? I guess they're specialists, but also it's kind of weird that you would move away from Tokyo to a rural village for better treatment. Like, that's normally not how that works.
I feel like you do that stuff for, like, homeopathic stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they didn't explicitly say, which, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it's not super important.
No, it's not.
Like, her not being at the home is like important for like the kids.
Yeah, but the actual the reasoning is for the plot is not important.
Yeah, so she's there, and then we got the dad who's also, you know, a dad.
Super carefree. Oh my god.
Yeah, I kind of really like seeing like a dad who's like actually just, you know, always there to, you know, for his kids and willing to put himself down to their level.
He wasn't there to watch May when she disappeared.
Well, that's true. But I'm just thinking of like the bath scene where he just starts fucking just like
oh, the weird laugh. Oh my god.
I was like, God, what a nerd.
What a crackhead. I mean, I think he's like a literature professor or
something like that.
Yeah.
So he's cool. He's there to, you know, not be there.
Sounds familiar.
And then I think getting into
younger sister May.
Yeah. Well, is she the main? I guess they're both the main character.
I would say May's the main character.
But yeah, I feel like her, I mean, she's the one in the intro.
I think Satsuki's the core, like she's the pro tag, but I would still say May is a main character, yeah.
Oh yeah, they're both main characters. They're both, you know, both of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, May, she's like 4 years old, as we saw. She's very much like a lot of that seeing the world through the child's eyes is seen a lot through her. It's like, you know, when Satsuki goes to school and she's just kind of left to her own devices and she has to find her own, like...
Being a brat, telling Granny that, I need to see Satsuki.
No, oh my god, no, Bianca's like, fuck, that's something that she would actually, like, do because, you know, when your sibling is gone out of the house and then your parents work and it's like, well, shit, it's like, what do you, like... She was like, oh, the feeling of, like, being abandoned. Like, that's like, I don't know. She really related to that.
That's separation anxiety.
I thought that was kind of interesting. And I could believe it, you know, because...
Tell her to stop being a... You hear that, Bianca?
So, you know, a lot of that childlike wonderment, we do see through her. Like, in the beginning, in the intro scene, she's copying everything Satsuki does. It's like, no, that's how little siblings... Like, that's what Bianca did.
Monkey
like,
see, monkey do.
Yeah, a lot of that. Or her hyper fixating on getting the core into her mom.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of that. Yeah, I just think like she was like pretty accurate depiction of like what I think
a 4 year old would
actually do. So I think, you know, I'm sure some people like think she's annoying or.
Guess what? Little siblings are annoying.
It's like that's
surprise, surprise.
That's how it be. It's like, you know, but and then they got, you know, some cute moments like when she was giving her dad, like, oh, you could be the flower shop. I thought that was pretty cute.
Dad said, which one are you again?
Yeah, I was like, kind of like, wait a minute, are you asking him to be, whatever, never mind, it doesn't matter.
That's when dad said, Jason!
I should have had two sons and two daughters.
Yeah!
And then, actually, I don't even know why I have Totoro last. What are we going to talk about Totoro?
Well, might as well talk to him last. He's the...
Yeah. He's in the title.
Of the movie.
And then Sasuke is the...
Can you imagine if you watch Naruto and he's in like less than half the series?
If Naruto was like... How the fuck would that work? Who's the main character of the show then?
I guess Sasuke? I don't know.
I don't know enough about the series to make commentary on that. But anyway, yeah, Sasuke, she's like, you know, the Genki, very like energetic young girl who's...
Tomboy.
Yeah, very tomboy.
As noted by the short hair.
Yeah. And she's, you know, kind of like trying to be the more
mature
one,
older sibling.
And obviously they have the blow up between the blow off, the breakup angle between the tag team. It's like a shoving. Yeah, I remember when she shoved May through the barbershop. God damn it.
No, she super kicked him. She super kicked her.
No, isn't that like the myth that he didn't actually super kick him? Like, he shoved him first through the window and then super... Like, I remember
at the end of the day, there was a super kick.
Yeah.
And he went through a window.
Yeah. But technically, yeah. But yeah, no, Sasuke's there, kind of be the core of the thing, you know, helping, trying to be a responsible one, but also keeping a lot of that childlike wonderment. You know, she's like, she's growing up, but she still has a lot of that.
And she's only in like elementary school, so she can't be that old.
I think she's like 10, probably 10. Wikipedia says 10. So.
Okay, we're going with 10.
Yeah, there you go. And then finally, Totoro and his pre-evolutions. So.
I know he did have pre-evolutions, right?
Yeah.
Did Totoro create Pokemon?
85? So that does predate Pokemon.
I thought this movie came out in 88.
Well, regardless, Pokemon's like 96. So.
Yeah.
Totoro is a thing.
I mean, he's basically the vessel of quote unquote childlike wonderment.
Yeah.
Right?
Or the embodiment of the forest is as I like to think of him.
Yeah. So is he like a giant rabbit? Is that what it is?
I guess that's the point where you're not, they don't explicitly tell you
what he is or what he's supposed to be.
And like, I didn't even know that his name doesn't even come from him. It's fucking May not knowing how to say the word troll.
Oh, what? Is that what it says in Japanese?
Yeah, it says, oh, you must be the troll from my book. The Billy Goat, the Three Billy Goats Gruff.
Oh, because in the English version, he does like the Pokemon gimmick where he says his name. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, huh. So like he's breathing a Totoro type of deal. But it's like more subtle than that.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I'm not sure if he, I think when he was snoring, it did kind of sound like that in Japanese, but they do explicitly say, she does say, you're the troll from my book.
Yeah,
in Japanese. Yeah. So that's kind of that's an interesting difference.
But you know, giant iconic Ghibli creature, giant gray buddy monster type of deal.
Yeah. And he's there to inspire,
fulfill childlike wonderment. How many times are we going to say that in this podcast? I don't know. Yeah. Probably a lot.
All right, getting into any questions. I mean, I already got my slipper.
Yeah. Whose slipper was it? Fuck them kids. That should have been the real theme of this movie. Totoro should have just ate them motherfuckers.
I mean, I almost thought that she, in the first scene, she might like accidentally fall into his mouth.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay.
I mean, like we said, this isn't really a plot-driven movie. So
other than the medical inaccuracies.
So, like, really just not much else to say.
Okay, I already said, you know, May coming to fucking doesn't want to be left alone with a random old lady.
Now, the tree growing scene is like one of those iconic moments in the movie that really highlights that, I can't think of a different word for wonder, but that excitement or that thrill or joy of when it's like to be a kid.
Like, I'll straight up say that scene made me fucking cry. Like, I didn't expect it. Like, because I think it is. I was just so filled with like, this is
inner joy.
Because I know. Like, the term, like, Disney magic, I know that's, you know, ooh, the magic of Disney.
Yeah.
But, like, I felt that with this. It's like, this is, you know, it's real. Like, magic's real, damn it.
It's real to me, damn it.
And I think an important thing, like, a really cool thing that Bianca pointed out to me was that the kids don't bother, like, they don't bother asking, like, hey, Totoro, what's going on? What are you doing?
They just
see that he's doing something, and then they just get in line.
And
they just copy him, and then they're rewarded for their exploration of the unknown, leaping into fantasy, and it's fucking beautiful.
That's why it was so easy to kidnap kids back then.
Oh god damn it!
Just follow you around for no reason.
God damn it! You always gotta be. You gotta be old.
At different times, man.
It was acceptable in the 80s. Oh, God. I mean, theoretically, it should never have been acceptable.
not acceptable, but it's certainly easier.
Anyway, so that was probably...
Hey, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer, check it out, folks.
God damn it. Yeah,
On Netflix.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good... I mean, obviously, there are a lot of inaccuracies in it, but still... Like
I said, yeah, he was a pretty good guy.
Certainly not.
Oh.
No, but it's definitely an entertaining fictional documentary.
Well, there you go. Maybe we'll do it. I don't know. Oh, no. How long is it?
It's kind of long.
Okay, well, fuck.
It's like each episode's like about an hour, and I think there's like 8 to 10 episodes.
To be fair, I guess My Shy Boss is kind of that length.
Yeah, that's true.
That was kind of long. But anyway, whatever.
It is pretty good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's it for our wrap.
Nekubasu.
You know, that was pretty cool seeing the. I kind of like how it doesn't really like, it kind of like floats on the grass, even though it has legs.
Yeah, and then it was running on the electrical wire.
Yeah, oh yeah, very visually. Oh, we'll get into the visuals.
The Nekubasu is definitely a visually interesting.
Yeah, because I think Nekubasu, sure, like, it's very cute, but it's also very creepy at the same time for me.
Oh yeah, the big cat face, and then
Cheshire grin.
You're sitting in its body essentially. And it has two rats as a
stoplights. No, when it first came up and Totoro like was getting on, I'm like, God, fuck, are they gonna get on this bus? Yeah, that's creepy.
I mean, it ended up happening. So
yeah, because at the end of the day,
you gotta tease the ending in the beginning. No, you gotta even though that was like in the middle, I think. But. Yeah, it was in the middle.
Okay, getting into key directing. Maybe opening up with the fact that Totoro isn't actually in the movie that much. It's a pretty slow burn.
100%. Well, there's not really a plot to burn, right?
Well, yeah.
But yes, it is a slow burn. I mean, I would say the benefit of it is that when Totoro is on screen, like, he's not overexposed. It's a treat, right?
Yeah.
But for a movie called My Neighbor Totoro, he's definitely lacking in the action. Like, I feel
that's
like
fair.
Maybe he doesn't meet the kids in the beginning, but at least being introduced to them at least earlier.
Yeah, maybe put a shadow or something.
Yeah, a shadow or just a scene of him doing whatever bullshit. I think he just sleeps, I guess. But.
Yeah, I guess it's maybe the logic of like, ooh, it's kind of like the monster movie logic where you want to build the anticipation. But yeah. I guess they didn't really tease it that much because basically the first, I don't even know how long, 20 minutes? It's a decent chunk of the movie.
It's even longer than that.
It's like 30?
You actually see. Well, not see Totoro, but at least like any sort of spirit. I guess the sprites.
No,
count,
the sprites count. But yeah. that there's like ooh, there's something like, going on.
But I feel like that's so low tier.
Yeah.
Like at least when you see like the rookie version, the rookie evolution of Totoro, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Another thing I noticed, like they do a lot of have a close ups of the characters' faces, especially
to
the kids.
Highlight their excitement.
Yeah.
I see that,
yeah. That was pretty good. And then, you know, this is a Ghibli film, so we got to have the big sweeping shots of gorgeous.
The backdrops
scenery.
Are always going to be fantastic. Like, for example, the tree growing or the introduction of the countryside. Or even, obviously, Ghibli trope is flight, right? So even during the flying scene.
God, that's every fucking film. Isn't it? Jesus Christ.
Hey, there was a flying scene in Grave of the Fireflies.
Was there?
Was it
the fucking plane?
When they tossed the ashes in the can, you know?
I don't remember. I
remember at the end when they had the sister's ashes in the can and they tossed it? That's flying, right? She was flying through the
air.
Isn't
it weird? Like, I feel like the thing that kind of sucked to me the most is the fucking aunt being an
terrible.
Asshole.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Like I'm glad I don't have relatives like that.
I mean, you don't know. You never lived with them like that.
Well, I guess that's true.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, things can change when you live with somebody.
That is true.
You know? Anyway.
Speaking of... I'm just
kidding. Oh, jeez. Anyway, what else did I have? Oh, yeah, and then how the stakes are pretty low.
Except for when they thought May was dead.
Yeah,
yes.
Near the end. But, like, for the most part, the movie is... And I think that's kind of goes in with the slice of life. Yeah, with the slice of life, with the pacing of the ordinary, mundane scenes to Totoro. You know, lots of just kind of palling around. Just
now,
being
will
excited
say,
for the house.
Okay, I know earlier we put over like the simplicity of the movie, right? Because it's meant to be viewed from an adolescent viewpoint, right? So children really aren't thinking like the big picture at all. They're just focusing on the what's happening now. I think a brilliant part of that, of the plot being so minute, if not simple. It's because it allows the viewers to appreciate the other stuff that's going on in the movie, right? Like, you could take in all the visuals, you could take in all the sound effects, you could take in the beautiful score of the movie, right, when they present the tree. Or even, like, when that first Totoro baby type of deal showed up, you know, like, all the sound effects that went to that, like, they used some Looney Tunes, or I guess it wasn't Looney Tunes at the time, but they used, like, those old sound effects, but they really... fell together, you know, like it's just like let's say you're watching No Way Home, right? You know, that's like a visually stunning movie, right? It has a great soundtrack, but a lot of the time you're thinking about the plot, like, oh my god, what's Peter Parker gonna do, so on and so forth, that sometimes you kind of get lost in appreciating the visual art of it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like when you eat. Let's say, I mean, I like nachos from Roberto's, right? But let's just say there's like too much toppings, right? Then now you can't really enjoy the chips.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they get soggy.
Yeah.
Then it's like, cool.
Like now it's just too much, right? Yeah, you can't really enjoy the core of it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, yeah, I got
it. I thought that was a brilliant directing move. I will say I'm not sure I agree with Totoro being gone most of the movie. I think maybe just a little more, you know, just a little more.
And I feel like, personally, I was kind of okay with it. Maybe just because, like, I was so...
Wow, John was already bitching. Half he was like, where's Totoro? I was like, oh, you think I wrote this shit?
Yo, what the fuck? I paid for Totoro. I didn't pay
if for fucking... If I made a movie called My Neighbor Ophi, I would make sure you're at least in the beginning.
Goddamn.
To at least an extent.
Because I
can you imagine if the Godzilla movie was called Bryan Cranston Fights Godzilla, but it was the same exact movie, and then Bryan Cranston disappears after 20 minutes? Dude, that trailer was such a fucking lie. Okay. Do you remember that movie?
I remember watching the movie. I don't remember the trailer.
The trailer teased Bryan Cranston fighting Godzilla.
I don't remember that.
Right?
I remember fucking that.
And then Bryan Cranston dies so early.
Is this
just
the first
for the
one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
For Quicksilver to come in and save the day.
So. All I remember is, like, were there... They were like trying. They're like a family. Like the wife was like in San Francisco or some shit. I just remember Godzilla fighting the Mudos. That's what I remember.
Mudos were kind of lame.
They were like all right. They were like yeah. They're definitely not. He's definitely had better adversaries. But you
dude,
know,
King of the Monsters, fucks, dude. My friend at the restaurant is also a Kaijin movie fan, right? Yeah. Like they like Pacific Rim and all that shit. Yeah. And I told him like, dude, King of the Monsters plots. High key stupid, but the fights are good. Can you remember that? Do you remember that plot?
Okay, no, it was like a big corporation was like the Monarch program.
Sure. Something like that. Yeah, keep going.
But, and then like, oh, we want to have King Ghidorah be King of the Monsters. Because why? Wait, why?
No,
why
I got you. That? I got you right now. I got you right now. Okay.
Because they're like,
so,
fuck Godzilla.
Remember how it's
we
supposed to be
alien.
Remember how there's supposed to be a family, right? A family was revolved around the movie.
What? No,
there was.
A human family?
Yes. Listen.
I just saw the Asian guy died.
He did. No, but okay. Hey, hear me out. So, they have the movie surrounds the family, right?
Sure.
The mother breaks off. She's estranged, but
okay.
She wants to bring the monsters back to bring balance to the ecosystem.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Right. But then when she finally accomplishes her plan, the monsters are killing a bunch of people and bringing balance to the ecosystem, quote-unquote, natural selection. She's like, wait, I didn't want all these people to die. What the... I don't understand. Why is this happening?
Okay, so she was the one that was like, we want King Ghidorah to be the king?
Yeah, yeah, some shit like that. But I was just thinking, like, this is... The dumbest fucking...
I just want to know why they wanted Ghidorah over Godzilla. Because he's cool? They think,
I think
he thought he's cooler?
I think they found, like, old prophecies of King Ghidorah, but they didn't realize it was King Ghidorah being a shithead.
They didn't realize that he just wanted to murder everybody.
Because he's from fucking space!
He's a fucking alien!
I didn't...
An illegal alien!
He didn't pay his taxes like Godzilla!
Getting into the...
Dude, wait, hold on.
How King of the Monsters
so,
really
look, I know me. You knew, but I didn't know King Ghidorah was in space, so that kind of blew my mind. Yeah. Like, that was actually a pretty cool plot point, aside from the other parts of the plot being shit.
I just remember there was, like, a mammoth guy that we saw, like, 2 seconds. And...
Oh, there was a mammoth.
Oh, yeah, Rodan and Mothra.
Mothra was, oh, I love fucking Mothra.
They're pretty cool.
Mothra's, like, aside from Godzilla, my favorite.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
Dude, the sound of the flame, atomic breath charging is the coolest fucking shit.
That's not even the episode.
Who cares? I need to let them know.
Wait, we did that episode, right?
We did do that
already. Hey, go listen to... What year was that?
That was like in our first year.
Holy fuck. Dang.
We're second year.
That's crazy.
Okay, so...
Anyway...
This is a key directing point, but it's going to bleed into effects, but I think something Ghibli just does well in general in all their movies is their high, attention to detail.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I'm not talking about just backgrounds. Obviously, the backgrounds are great, but even, like, character mannerisms, they get perfectly. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, do you remember when the kids first got to their new house?
Yeah, they went apeshit.
Yeah, but see, look, you know, in Asian cultures, FYI, you typically take your shoes off in the house. But the kids being kids, they didn't want to, like, take the 5 seconds it would take to take their sandals off. But instead of running around the house in their sandals, they're running on their knees, you know, shoes pointing in the air. And I thought that was a really interesting characterization. Another one is, so Satsuki's, like, doing the running man impression, right? Looking for her sister.
Yeah.
So when she has her sandals on and makes that that Naruto running noise, yeah, right? But then when she takes them off, it's like silent. I was like, oh, hey, oh, yeah, nice, they caught that.
Nice sound design, yeah.
Another one was like Kanta's bag was unclipped and you could hear the bag clicking when he's running, you know, like, what's another one?
All right, yeah, just a lot of these small details, right, yeah, that like just kind of help add to the atmosphere and just like the general like theming and it's immersion, yeah?
Immersion for sure, yeah, just because like it brings the characters, I know it's overused, cliche, yeah, but it does actually bring the characters, yeah, to life because there's so much detail or small mannerisms that are readily available. Oh, something I do want to point out as far as a directing point is when Satsuki is looking for her sister desperately, like there's not really any music playing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like more ominous. Mm-hmm. It's a silent, which pairs with Satsuki's mood, right? With like her thinking the worst could have happened to her sister.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So they really know how to play into the mood of the scene.
Yeah.
So that's just stuff I wanted to put over.
No, I think a small detail that I also noticed is that how the path leading to their house is like a tunnel of trees. And then the first time that Mei goes to meet Totoro, she goes through like a tunnel in the...
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't realize the
parallels.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
we're entering one world and then there's like another world within.
All right, yeah.
Next to, because the Japanese name for this movie is Tonari no Totoro,
which means
Tonari means next to.
Oh, next to,
next,
oh,
to Totoro, because the magic is here. The magic's everywhere. It's we're within it.
Also, they're physically next to Totoro,
oh,
as,
yeah,
far as,
oh yeah, yeah,
living location. But yes,
can I also saw when they were doing when Totoro and his Prievos were sitting on the trees, I thought they were drinking. I didn't know
that. Oh, yeah, that was a horn type of deal.
Yeah, but I thought they were just like fucking
getting sauced.
Getting sauced with the boys at midnight. It's like, let's go.
Another hard day of work.
Yeah, yeah, because when I saw when the two kids were there, like, oh shit, they're drinking.
They're getting sauced too. Fuck them kids, am I right?
It's okay, you gotta teach them early.
Break them in young. Oh, all right, anything else on effects?
It's fucking great. For
definitely the key point of the movie, which, you know, like I keep saying, for a children's movie that's about just being a dumb kid, I think this movie would suck ass if the visuals and music weren't on point.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, no, just everything is just like so interesting to watch. Like even, like yeah, I think because it's a mundane like setting fairly, but like there's just so much little details to look in to take in. Like I think that really helps bring it alive right now.
All right, well, let's get into closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts.
So, how would you, like, because we always do this every episode, and I appreciate we do, because like not everything is for everyone. So let's try to give a guess, an educated guess or a hypothesis as to who would this movie apply to. You know, like what is the target audience of My Neighbor Totoro? Like, would you say anime goers? Would you say casual fans, or would you say just movie folks in general? Yeah.
I would honestly say this is probably like the first piece of media I could think of where it's like this is like I think kind of contributes to why this is so popular. This is so iconic. This is like a movie anyone can watch,
yeah,
and enjoy.
Because it's simple, right?
Like, yeah, like maybe if you really hate the anime art style, which I don't know what, you know how some people just really fucking hate anime.
I mean, some people just, you know,
like I see that opinion all the time.
Just to be resistant.
And like, yeah. I don't know if it's like an art style thing or maybe like they think it's like, I don't know. I'm not sure. Whatever. But I do think a lot of Ghibli stuff is probably removed away from like most what people think of anime, like usually in the shonen and stuff.
Yeah, it's not a high school DxD.
It's not
trip and fall to someone's panties.
Yeah, there's no weird like,
she looks like a child, but she's actually 1,000 years old.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, these are just normal children. Just, but anyway, no. But I think that this is just a movie where anyone could just go sit down and watch. You don't really have to be. I think there's really prerequisites or just
no. You definitely.
If you were ever a kid, I think you can watch this and get something out of it.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good. I don't think I could say that any better. No, if you because it's not really a high demand as far as like quote unquote knowledge of anime tropes or specific plot lines. Because super simple plot, right? Yeah. It's a slice of life. The meat and potatoes here is just the visuals and then the relatableness of the characters. Mm-hmm. So you know, like anyone with siblings or anyone who's been a dumb kid, like they could probably relate to this movie or appreciate it.
Yeah, go watch it. Do you want to get into how it compares to other Ghibli films?
Well, what other Ghibli movies have you even seen?
So I've seen, we did Castle in the Sky.
Mm-hmm. I like this more than Castle in the Sky.
Spirited Away, everyone watches that one.
Spirited Away, I prefer.
And
just get, I mean, childhood bias on that one too.
I guess Grave of the Fireflies is a Ghibli film as well.
That's different genre.
Yeah, I it's hard to compare that one. So I have it in like a separate
category.
It's like that's a film that's important to watch, but I don't want to ever watch it again. You know, it's one of those where it's like
you should watch it.
It's culturally significant, but
other than that,
no, because it's too much. Mononoke, watch that one.
Oh, I love that one. That's like my favorite.
And Kiki's Delivery Service.
That one's pretty good too. That one's pretty solid.
So I think because I just watched Kiki's a couple weeks ago, and I was kind of thinking how it compares to that, and I even going from Kiki's to the others, like Kiki's is pretty low stakes as well. It's just kind of it's very much like a personal introspective coming of age story.
Struggle, yeah.
And this one is coming of age for sure. This one's actually a lot pretty similar to, but even like less stakes because at least Kiki's like I gotta learn to be a witch somehow. Yeah. Here it's like you just got two kids who are just like learning to, you know, explore a new area, new sensations. So it's kind of different. I think those two might be my favorites.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I'm a lot more into like the more laid back stuff. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I came out of Nichijou's thing. It was my favorite anime of all time.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is kind of here, especially with like Nichijou's message of finding like magic in the mundane. Mm-hmm. I think you can apply that pretty well in this movie as well. Just
yeah.
So no, I really kind of dig the vibe and both of those. I think I might still prefer Kiki's because I think I like the more direction.
A cat.
Yeah, the talking cat. The cat was pretty fun.
Until he stopped.
That man.
That little shit.
It's like,
why'd you stop talking?
Just because you got
your beak wet. Can't talk back to the fam no more. Yeah. Can't talk to them boys.
That's crazy.
Forgot where you came from, did you? Got a little taste of the high life, and Jesus, that's it, Christ. Is it?
Oh man. Anyway, but no, yeah, this definitely up there for me at least. So I don't know, big.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite, just because I have simply because I have different tastes. But I know quality when I see it. This is a good movie, regardless. So
yeah, I feel like I should watch. I feel like it's been years since I've watched Spirited Away. So maybe one day we'll do it.
I think Spirited Away is definitely a lot more of a driven plot. You
know, yeah, no, yeah,
but it still has all that wonderment. Mm. Behind it, but yeah. Before we get too distracted, I think if you're just a general movie fan, this is something you don't even have to have someone that with an odd taste, like that's into weird shit. Like, I think you could still enjoy this movie regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Old and young.
Yeah. All right, getting into the outro. I don't know.
Wow. Okay. Hey, folks. Yeah, just, you know what we normally say. We're not a weekly podcast, but we pretend to be. See ya.
Yeah.